This is the Draft Prospect Review podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Another Wednesday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Is my mic all right now here, big guy? That didn't sound too good. I got the strange look from Andy Hart.
Well, you went a little in and out.
Well, Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, and Paul Perilla with you. First time the band's been back together for a little bit for a draft prospect review where we preview the draft prospects at linebacker today, which should be an interesting position, both inside and out. Patriots could have some interest.
I'm going on a limb, Paul. They're drafting a linebacker.
Okay.
11 picks. They have need, and they're going to take one. You're not the best in the business for nothing.
That's right.
Okay, let's try to get a little bit of insight from you, Eric. Will they be drafting a linebacker on the first day?
Yes, with the first pick, Paul.
Okay. Do tell. Inside, outside?
Outside. The need is at outside. Last year, they struck gold with the inside guy, Gerard Mayo, won Rookie of the Year. This year, they're going to – I don't know if they'll strike gold and get a Rookie of the Year again, but they will take a position of need, which is outside linebacker, and that's what I predict they will do.
Andy, do you agree with the kicker?
Not necessarily with the first pick, but certainly the first day.
Yeah,
I think they will get one of those edge rushers, whether it's one of the projection guys, defensive end types, or one of the guys out of USC who have some experience playing both up and down. I think they will get an edge rusher.
Okay, we're all in agreement on that. I have not seen this group in the entirety, but I did want to get – you brought up the USC guys, Andy, and I wanted to get your impressions on – I did watch tape of those two. Do you see those guys as inside or outside for Patriots purposes? Because I see them both kind of as inside guys.
I think they both have versatility. I mean, I think they both have a Mike Vrabel where they could probably play both. And I think both of them would be okay outside linebackers, but not impact pass rushing dynamic outside linebackers. So if you had me, what they could excel maybe most at, I'd probably say inside linebacker, but I think if they get drafted by the Patriots, we've talked about this on PFW in Progress, there's a need there for a guy to come in and contribute on some level on the outside. So if they take those guys, I think they play on the outside at least initially.
That's why I don't see them taking one of those. And those guys you're referring to, Brian Cushing and Clay Matthews,
yes,
of course.
Yes.
Ray Maluga's definitely going to be
an inside guy.
He's not going to be moving outside. But that's one of the reasons why I don't think they'll go in that direction of either Matthews or Cushing, because they do potentially need somebody who can come in right away and play from day one, like Mayo did last year, and I'm not sure either one of those guys in this system is ready to do that.
Certainly Clay Matthews. I mean, the guy was a walk-on not long ago. Was he have 10 starts or something in his career?
I wrote down Latimer for Clay Matthews.
That's interesting on a lot of levels.
Every level. I mean, the hair, the special teams background for the most of the career, and now he's been linked, rightly or wrongly, I know that they've disputed
questions.
It, but he's been linked to performance-enhancing drugs. I'm referring to that movie, The Program, but way
right.
back when with James Caan as the coach, Latimer. He was a special teams guy. All of a sudden, he was a star and turned out he was on steroids. That's what it reminded me.
And we should mention, both those guys were included in a whole group of players, draftbible.com.
Yeah,
I believe,
I'm not making that up.
Had
yeah,
rumors. No, because it went so far, as and I told Eric this, Pete Carroll issued a statement through the university PR department saying that those players had never failed anything there. They're good players that he has no reason to believe. He actually poo-pooed it and said if they had failed any tests of the combine, it would have been out there already. They would have been notified. The teams would have been notified. It would have come out a long time ago. And he then kind of chastised the website for irresponsible reporting or whatever. But there were other quotes out of the combine when Eric and I were there. And I think Thomas George was the guy who had the story, had an unnamed general manager who said, the only way that these questions, and Cushing particular has had these questions sort of follow him for a while, the only way they would be finalized in any way at the combine was if they failed a test, because there is enough NFL speculation within the decision makers. We're talking GMs and scouts that those guys, or certainly Cushing, have issues with chemicals that it could only be proven one way that they did take them if they didn't fail the test. Those same decision makers would still be assuming, they just didn't fail the test, but I still
right.
have my doubts.
Yeah, I wasn't overly infatuated with either one of those guys.
No.
I think they're good players. I don't think they're first-round players in seems by all indications they're going to go in the first round.
And that worries me for Matthews. Brian Cushing, okay, he has been a legitimate player for them for a couple years now, has been talked about last year as a potential first-round pick, elite prospect. Clay Matthews has come out of nowhere, and everybody is using the, he'll be a better pro than he was in college. Well, okay, those guys are fine. Those guys come along
John
all
Valentine?
The time, but I don't draft those guys in the first round.
Exactly.
Getting to the guys that we know are going to be outside linebackers or would figure to project to be outside linebackers, the one that I think both of you are most encouraged by or you know excited about is Larry English.
Absolutely.
And I certainly liked what I saw on tape of him, the kid out of Northern Illinois.
Yeah, the question mark about him was he ran a little bit of a slow 40, and he played he played Division I football, but he played in a conference that isn't necessarily a powerhouse. I think he answered those questions in two ways. A, by you look at his tape, all the guy does is find a way to make a play. He's in the backfield all the time, either disrupting a run or sacking a quarterback. And when he was playing against elite competition at the Senior Bowl, he more than held his own. He had a great week of practice. He performed. I don't really think there's any question that this guy can play at the next level and be worthy of a first-round pick, especially after watching his tape. So that's why I still like and the position he plays at outside line, he's a prototype on the outside, and I think that's what the Pats need more than anything right now in this draft. So I think he's the pick.
Yeah, I liked his I liked the tape. I liked his athleticism. He certainly seemed to come most of what we saw was all pass rushing, and it was a lot
that's
of
most
coming.
Of what he does,
but he also was involved in some running plays as well. But I like the idea of that kind of guy—a guy that can come hard off the edge, make plays. And I think the Patriots probably could use an athlete in that kind of role. I also like Clint Sintem. I know he's more of the prototypical outside linebacker because he actually played in a 3-4 at Virginia. But he's another guy, first, second round, somewhere in that area. With the Patriots having all of those, that you know, those four picks, between what 23 and 64, what's the third of the second rounders?
58.
So 23 and 58. There's a lot of room to sort of move around there, and I think that a lot of these guys might make sense if you guys are right, and I certainly would agree with you that outside linebacker is an area that they need to address, I think, in the first day.
And I wouldn't be surprised, Andy, if two of these outside linebackers made their way onto the team on the first day.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you take one of those guys, your blue chip guy, let's say, with the first pick, you still have, like Paul said, three others in the second round. You probably don't go back to back, but I wouldn't be out of the question in my mind for them to take another guy at 58.
If the value's there.
If the value's there.
I mean, the way we talk about, if I got a Larry English and then Clay Matthews was a pick in the second round, I'd be fine with that because
sure.
Now I'm drafting him as, maybe he's an outside linebacker. Maybe he plays some of the inside special teams. But if he is my marquee number 23 pick, I have no interest.
Now, if assuming Eric is right and they might have interest in taking two linebackers, but yet don't take them, you know, in the first day. Let's say they get English or someone like that on the first pick. Moving down further down the list, third, fourth round. Any mid round guys here that you guys thought stuck out?
I thought a couple guys that are sort of rated in the same area there in the middle of the draft. Cody Brown out of UConn, I liked. Another guy who's a defensive end athlete turned outside linebacker at the pro level. And then Zach Follett, the kid out of Cal. Cal runs a 3-4 at least part of the time, so he has experience in the 3-4. I really, really liked what I saw from him. He might be, and in all likelihood is, an inside linebacker in the Patriots system, but I just – he plays angry, hits people. I think he's a guy that would add a unique element to this defense. So those two guys would be guys I'd keep an eye on.
Those when I do my little reports on the notes here, Paul, I put a little star. Andy has his arrow system.
It's not anywhere near rivaling the arrows.
Not at all.
The up and down arrow system.
But it's my personal
sometimes
indicator.
45-degree angle.
Exactly. It's very complex. But I just put a little star next to a guy that I like, no matter where he's ranked. And I agree with Andy. I had Brown and Follett back-to-back. I had stars for those guys for the exact reasons that Andy said, too. Aggressive, hard hitters, seem to be intelligent, always aware of what's going on in the field, and they just make plays.
And not to mention, everybody jumped on the Darius Butler bandwagon because Bill Belichick was at the UConn Pro Day.
I just like the tape.
How do we know that that Bill Belichick wasn't there to see Donald Brown or Cody Brown or any of these, or Beatty the tackle? I mean, there are other players there, and I know it makes for a nice story. Okay, Darius Butler's going to be the Patriots' pick, but maybe he wanted to see how athletic Cody Brown was again and say, can he play linebacker for us? I just wanted to recap on one thing. Clint Sintem, while he did play in a 3-4 at Virginia, from everything I've read in scouting reports, he was their rush outside linebacker, so still is a projection in terms of any coverage, like very, very minimal coverage.
Oh, didn't have one
coverage.
Play. Didn't see one play where he was.
He's a guy that still, despite the 3-4, and couldn't be more experienced, he has 50 starts to close his career, which is re-goddamn-diculous, as they say in Anchorman.
Yeah, but which we try not to say on Patriots.com, but that's okay.
I thought everything you could say on Anchorman you could say here.
Not necessarily.
Still a little bit of projection, but the experience in an Al Groh scheme there has to give him an added benefit. If you're comparing him to a couple other guys, I think he'd be an interesting pick later in the draft, second or third round.
I want to ask you guys for a late-round steal, a sleeper, if you will. But before I do that, I do want to mention Aaron Curry because he is regarded as the top prospect of any linebackers, inside, outside, or whatever, as high as a top five pick. What did you guys think of him?
I like him, don't love him.
I was a little bit underwhelmed, given all the hype surrounding him.
ILB in the Patriot system, Andy?
What?
Inside in the Patriot system?
Yeah.
I think so.
Not ideal for the Patriot system in general,
no,
I don't think.
Yeah. I agree.
If he's on a 4-3 team, he'd probably be
He'll be an outside guy in a 4-3.
But if he came here or to another 3-4 team, I'd say probably inside.
But not an ideal fit. And he's a guy, we've talked about this a lot.
Oh, yeah, he can cover. He moved well in space. I mean, you could see why he's
you don't draft coverage linebackers with the number three pick in the draft.
You can see why he's rated as highly as he is.
I think he's one of those guys that's rated so highly is because he's solid. And all those people at the top are pansies, and they're afraid to make selections based on impact players. And they go, this kid's a good football player. He's not going to embarrass me. He's not going to be out of the league in 2 years. He's going to be on the field making plays for us. I just don't think he'll be making enough plays to be worth the $30 million and the number three pick in the draft.
And he seems like a good character, too.
Oh, yeah.
He came across very well at the combine, so I think that helps boost the guy's stock.
Yeah, I'm looking for a guy with like 15 sacks and three picks. I'm looking for Jason Taylor if I take him number three overall.
Before we move to the inside linebackers, any sleepers for you guys? Maybe a seventh-round guy off the radar?
There was a couple guys late in our grouping of tapings that I kind of like. Victor Butler out of Oregon State. One-year starter, pass rush specialist, actually wore number 90, so probably is a converted lineman, played defensive end there, obviously, 6'2", 250, listed Randy Moss as his favorite athlete of all time, and pure pass rusher, just a developmental guy who a Tully Bantakane they drafted in the seventh round, sixth or seventh round a couple of years ago, that kind of a guy, keep an eye on him.
Yeah, we're kind of hurting for footage of lower round prospects, sleepers. But of those, there were, Butler and Morty Ivey out of West Virginia was another guy who made some plays on his tape. His stock has kind of been dropping lately, I think because he ran kind of a slow 40. But he's just a name to keep an eye on later rounds or as a potential rookie free agent.
Okay, on the inside, we all know about Ray Mauluga and we know about James Laurinaitis. Beyond those two guys, I think we like those guys.
I don't love Laurinaitis.
I put
him in the
class. Talk about him a little bit.
I don't think he's an impact player. I think Ray Mauluga can be an impact player. I think James Laurinaitis will be a guy that has 100 tackles and
replace
him the next
type.
Year with another 100 tackle guy. Yeah, Posluszny or no offense to Patriots fans, but Teddy Bruschi can have a very quiet 100 tackles. You need to make plays to really be an impact player. I think Mauluga can do it. Teddy Bruschi used to do it in the past. I think Laurinaitis is more like Teddy Bruschi of late. He'll just have tackles.
Having said that, if he were to drop to the second round, I could see the Patriots taking him because they already have a guy like Mayo who's the star in the middle.
I think that's an interesting spot. That inside linebacker spot, I think a lot of people, because they took Mayo at number 10, they figure, well, they're not going to do it again. And I do think that you get value in the second round with a guy like that, and you mentioned – the USC kids, if they dropped, all of a sudden, you're not interested at 23, but at 34 or 40, whatever, 45,
47,
whatever the other one, 47.
58.
That's value. And I do think that they need to replace Bruschi.
And we know how this is going to work. We know these guys that, he's definitely going to be gone by 23.
Yeah,
somebody is going to be at 35 or 38. And that's the way it works. And if it's one, there certainly could be a guy that they would be
plop in there next to Mayo and make a nice complimentary pairing.
Moving a little bit further along in the process, you know, maybe the later second round into the third or fourth, where are the guy, who are the guys that stuck out for you guys?
I really liked Jason Phillips of TCU. He's a little bit undersized compared to some of these other guys, but he was a surprisingly good run stuffer, got in the backfield all the time, and was actually decent pursuing from side to side. So I really liked him.
And will be good value because he actually hurt his knee at the combine and had to have surgery like the day after the combine, so couldn't run again at the pro day. So anytime that happens, you kind of slash a round off a guy's value. So he's going to be a mid to later round pick and a four-year starter, all the production you could want from an inside linebacker.
How about my boy Jasper Brinkley?
I like him. I think he, in terms of like a value pick, I think he has as big an upside as anyone you can pick because the guy produces, obviously, had the knee injury, came back, wasn't as athletic, but, you know, sometimes that takes a little while. Certainly has the build and the frame and everything you'd look for. And then what we've talked about with Mayo there is your leader, your playmaker, your kind of speed sideline to sideline guy.
Calling the plays.
You might be able to get by with a guy who's a little bit slower or maybe isn't quite the athlete he was pre-injury, but at 255, 260 pounds, certainly has the bulk to play in the middle.
Yeah, and can move around.
I like Brinkley. I mean, I liked him from the field. I mean, I liked him watching him play at South Carolina. It was a shame that he ended up ripping up his knee. I think that sapped. I think he was a very athletic linebacker before the injury.
Yeah.
And Andy might be right. Sometimes you get a year removed or so,
right?
And some of that comes back. And hopefully for him it will because, you know, you don't want to see a kid's career get derailed before it even starts.
And right. He has been on the rise, according to a lot of these scouting services. He was considered like a seventh/rookie free agent before the combine. Then he goes to the combine and in these workouts. Now there's talk of him fourth, fifth round pick. So obviously scouts are liking what they're seeing in the workouts and pro days and things. So he might be a little bit on the rise. So the value might not be quite the steal.
Sleepers from both of you for inside linebackers?
I liked Warrell Williams out of California. I know he's small. He's like a little bowling ball, 5'11", 240-ish.
DJ's little brother.
But he made plays everywhere on this tape. I mean, he was everywhere on the field, in backfield, dropping in coverage, side to side. I just, you can't ignore that kind
he's
of production.
He's a flashy player. The problem is, according to most of the scouting reports I've read, is he's a guy that flashes and then disappears for a while. So it's flash, big hit, some sort of a play, and then where'd he go for the next quarter and a half, and then maybe come back again. I actually liked his teammate at Cal, Anthony Felder. 6'2", 231, probably a little bit undersized, but again, has some 3-4 experience from his time at Cal. And I thought not as flashy as Williams, but
certainly plays a
little
lot
more
of emotion,
consistent
though.
And a little, I think in terms of a developmental type inside linebacker, he might be an interesting guy. And I also liked Josh Mauga a little bit out of Nevada. Talked to him at the combine. I really liked him. He's a guy with injury concerns, pec, MCL, back. So obviously I'm not a doctor and didn't have a full day at the combine to diagnose his injuries. But if he's healthy, he's a guy that I could put in that developmental role. 245 pounds, 6'2". Again, kind of has that build you're looking for.
Yeah, his tape, he was solid in every phase of his game.
Solid. And also looks like he could add size. I mean, he was 6'2", 245.
Didn't look it at all.
So I could easily see him being...
Not tight-skinned?
No,
he's
not.
Got plenty of room for growth. When, you know, gets in the program with Mike Wojcik down the hall here. I could see, 255, 260 pounds in a couple of years. So, you know, you compare him to like a Jasper Brinkley who's already up in that area.
All right, so as we kind of put a wrap on this.
And Scott McKillop, by the way, we skipped over him, a potential second, third-round pick. I kind of liked him. He's a guy I talked to at the combine out of Pitt, very productive, was very forthcoming in talking about the fact that he's a white linebacker and people assume he's unathletic and can't do certain things, but ran a certain 40 time at right around 4.7 that he wanted to, that he thinks puts him in a legitimate enough speed and athleticism. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that I kind of like. Keep an eye on him.
Well, just if you had to say now what the Patriots might be looking at in terms of linebackers, give me a forecast. Obviously, it's an impossible task. But from the start at 23 all the way down to the last seventh-round pick, how many linebackers do you think we're looking at when the draft is over?
I'd say 2 to 3.
One in the first two picks, one in the value in the middle there somewhere, second, third round, and one late in the draft.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I said earlier, I think they could take two in the first day, either with the 23 and the 58. I wouldn't rule that out. And if they have another value guy later on down the line, if they still have all 11 picks, because you never know what they're going to do with them. But if they have some more picks later on down the line, yeah, they could take another one. I could say 2 to 3.
And Antonio Appleby is another name I forgot to include. Another Virginia guy, 3-4 experience. Very productive, but kind of boring production on the inside.
Antonio Appleby, yeah. That's a name.
That's a good name.
And he fit in
kinda
well
like
here.
Laurel Williams. That's, that's a good name.
As
that's a good linebacker name.
As a
good
secondary
alliteration
player.
From your linebackers, Paul.
Are we done? Are we going to talk about football now? We want to.
He's the one that had the alliteration.
Want to talk about his name forever?
I just said it was
go to
a good
Applebee's
name.
Tonight if you're worried about Appleby. But been playing in the shadow of Clint Sintem, obviously, at Virginia, and Chris Long. So might be the perfect fit to play in a shadow of a Mayo and a Dalis Thomas or whoever they draft early on here and be just kind of that complimentary inside linebacker guy.
Well, we're going to put a wrap on this podcast for today. A couple of programming notes. Obviously, we'll be with you extensively on draft weekend at Gillette Stadium. The three of us, along with our illustrious leader, Fred Kirsch, will be with you on Saturday. The Patriots pick number 23. The draft starts at 4 p.m. We will start at 6 p.m. We will hit you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday with PFW in progress. We'll come back on Sunday. We'll have another boatload of picks or trades to talk about, whatever the case may be. We'll come at you from noon to 3 p.m.
The draft starts
Eastern
at 10,
time.
Though.
Draft starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday. We will start at noon, go till 3 p.m. with PFW in progress. Also, Chris Ferreira hard at work putting up the draft prospect database. I believe today's update will have linebackers, which we just talked about a little bit.
The inside guys.
The inside guys.
The inside guys.
Tomorrow we'll hit you with the outside guys.
That's good. But doing the inside guys, I have like 5 or 6 outside guys that I've already watched. Thanks a lot for that.
Always about Paul.
What other programming notes do we have?
PFW in progress. Thursday.
Thursday, and we'll have another roster report where we probably won't have any more roster transactions to talk about. But, again, for now, that's going to put in a wrap on the Draft Prospect Review, where you can listen every Wednesday to the PFW people
preview
the prospects.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.